ACT leader David Seymour's end-of-life choice bill gets its second reading in Parliament today, as you've just heard, and if it's passed, will be one step closer to becoming law. But more than 1,000 doctors in New Zealand have signed a letter opposing the bill, which will make assisted suicide legal in New Zealand. Dr. Sinead Donnelly organised the letter, and she's the spokesperson for the Care Alliance, and she joins me now on the line. Morena Sinead. Dr. Sinead.
Morena Indira.
What are the core concerns doctors who have signed this letter have about this bill?
Our core concern is the fact that we work with people who are vulnerable every day. In the hospital and in the community, we see people who are sick, who have a disability, who are getting older, who are facing death, and they are vulnerable. So we believe that introducing euthanasia and assisted suicide with a doctor being the agent will actually expose them to greater vulnerability. Our view is the law is there to protect the vulnerable, and this bill would expose the vulnerable.
In terms of the requirements that are in the bill, what do you think about the terms that are used in the requirements? So, you have to have terminal illness, given 6 months left to live, or a condition that's impossible to cure, a condition that's grievous, irremediable are the terms that I've seen used. In terms of the diagnosis of 6 months, that's an indication that doctors would give, but it's not necessarily a guarantee, right? I mean, how many times have people outlived their diagnoses? Is that something that concerns doctors?
Absolutely. These are one of the safeguards that apparently are supposed to work, but they won't work in practice. Even the word terminally ill, how do you diagnose terminally ill? You know, it's ill-defined. Then, as you said, 6 months. Where in the literature, it's well known that where doctors are not that good at prognosis. Apparently, 20% of the time, we might get it right. So there's art and a science in medicine. Perhaps if you were dying in the next few hours, I might get it right. But we're very poor at determining prognosis. And why pick 6 months? You know, why did the law makers or the bill writers pick 6 months? No particular reason that it couldn't be 12 months. So that could easily be challenged further once if this bill became law.
If the bill passes a second reading today, what plans do the doctors who oppose the bill have in place? Will they ramp up their campaign?
Well, the campaign, it's not really a campaign that we just by word of mouth and bit by bit, people added their signatures and they're continuing to do so. I just know the people I've spoken to even yesterday, the doctors, the geriatricians, the palliative medicine doctors, general medicine doctors, the GPs, they're just deeply saddened and concerned. They're concerned as our role is to care for the sick, and we try to protect the vulnerable. That's our job. That's why we went into medicine. And we can see on the ground this is going to make that extremely difficult. In Oregon, where they have assisted suicide as opposed to euthanasia, but they have assisted suicide, the statistics show that the commonest reason for people requesting assisted suicide is feeling a burden, and then fear of institutionalization, fear of loneliness. These are like societal issues. It's not fear of pain. So these societal issues and these fears of all of us, and particularly those who are older or have a disability, are going to increase if this legislation were enacted.
And in terms of, because you mentioned the word burden there, is that something that the doctors that you're talking to feel that that's a huge weight or huge responsibility for them to be able to carry if this law passes?
Well already on a regular basis, patients say to me, I feel a burden, you know, on the family or on my, and they'll identify members of the family, or they'll say, don't do much for me, particularly an older person. And so nowadays we try to emphasise you're not a burden, and we try to show that as best we can by looking after the person and getting extra support. So if this legislation is enacted and they say, I feel a burden and I want euthanasia, as the bill is written, there's no space for us to actually use our clinical and professional judgment and care. Instead, we're supposed to embark on this kind of conveyor belt of administrative tasks that leads the person on towards euthanasia or assisted suicide.
So you mean like ticking the boxes?
That's as we as clinicians, as doctors, when we read the bill as it's written, that's what it looks like. Nowadays, if someone says, for example, in the world of palliative medicine, if someone in a hospice setting, you know, I wish it was all over, this is too hard, which is understandable that people might say that. We work with that person as a multidisciplinary team and with our skills and experience to explore what's behind that. We consider that, you know, a cry for help, and we work with that person digging deep. When this bill is, if it were enacted, based on how it's written, that professional ability and skill, we're not allowed really to continue. We just have to embark on the process. They've asked for euthanasia, so the it now starts.
Thanks so much for your time, Dr. Sinead there.